Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to your Q&A ahead of game week 14. Is it 14, David? My head's all over the place. You're leading this one.
Yes, game week 14 is the next one.
Good, okay. Well, we're here ahead of game week 14. Lots to discuss, lots of questions. You haven't got the headache a lot of us have with Ollie Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
You must be feeling pretty smug about that.
Yeah. Well, no, I feel jammy as ever because that's how I roll, really. Jam roll, if you will. I've had Diaby basically the whole season, and if it wasn't for Diaby being in the Premier League, I probably would have Watkins. So I'm not going to be smug because I feel like people have had enough of that this year with all the hauls I've had off my bench. So I will do my best to be empathetic and, you know, look you in the eye and be like, oh, that must be really difficult. And try and help you guys find some solutions.
And the 90-ish percent of people probably listening to the stream who do have Watkins, because he, I don't know how you've made it this far without him, to be honest. It must be some sleepless nights.
Well, not when you're at my rank, so.
Yeah. Oh. So what did you just say? Anyway, hi to everyone in the chat. Hopefully you can hear and see us all right. A few people making jokes about tech issues. There was some at the start of the stream. You were completely right. Click start stream, nothing happens. And then 40 seconds later, without touching anything, suddenly it all comes on. So anyway, Dave M says, Sam's looking rough.
Thanks.
Oh dear.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Get your questions in. We'll answer kind of as many as we can. Heather confirms sound and visual is looking good. So that's right. Aninda says, yikes, Az getting cooked. Yeah, when isn't he getting cooked these days? Although I'm getting poor Az. Why poor Az? What's happened?
I guess what they think is that comment I just made about me not having sleepless nights because I got a good rank is somehow aimed at you. Or it could be, as I've always said before, there is this conspiracy theory out there that we don't actually like each other because I replaced you. Or rather, I now do the job you used to do. And then, of course, the game week 39 substitution as well, where I brought you off and you didn't get the clean sheet. So there's all sorts of motivations for that.
That one was your bad one. Oh, it's my rank, they mean, 2.6 million.
Yeah, 2.6 million.
It's cool. It's all about the underdog story these days, isn't it? That's what people care about.
Yeah, like Az is an underdog. You know, not like he's got any FPL pedigree or anything like that.
I forget about my rank until I do these. And then I was like, oh, Az, what's wrong? Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I remember I'm doing really badly. You just adapt to it, you know? I've got people saying to me, you're never going to catch Mark with the same team as him. It's like, Mark is long gone. Mark is not even in my in my sights this season. My sights are in the top million, let alone anything else. Nuclear Atom says, you're the £100 million signing that replaced Az.
Well, I mean, technically I was here before you, as in terms of full-time.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. I'm like Pogba, you know. Juventus, Man United, Juventus, Man United. So I'm like scout in, scout out, scout in, scout out. Just keep watching. Yeah, well, at the moment it's good because I'm scouting at the moment. but if Juventus come in with a big offer, you never know.
We haven't had many FPL questions yet. We do have important ones like this. Beef, pork or chicken?
In what context? I mean,
there's no context, David. Just what would you pick out of those three?
But which one's got the best fixtures? That's the problem. And which one does he already own? It's not very helpful. And also, do you know what? If it's a Chinese, I'd probably go with pork. But if it was, you know,
you're making this way too complicated than it needs to be.
Dude, it's FPL content. That's what we're here for, right? We've got to make it more complicated than it should be.
I'd go beef any day of those three.
It depends. It depends. If it's a carvery, then it's beef.
Carvery, right? We'll call it carvery. Yeah.
But if it's an Indian night, I'm going chicken. And if it's a Chinese night, I'm going pork.
Yeah, but who, if it said what's your favourite roast, you wouldn't be like, well, if it's Kung Po chicken, then I'll go with it. It's clearly a roast dinner question, isn't it? Like, it's being ridiculous.
I suppose, but you can roast those things and put them in other dishes, though. Yeah. That's the thing. As I said, just basically,
an Indian,
as
who
ever.
Wrote a roast pork in my chicken biryani.
No, no, no. I chose chicken for the Indian.
I'm livid at this. You can't even give me an answer on this. What happens when we get to bloody Ollie Watkins in a minute? Well,
honestly, show me the whole team, right? If you're going to ask me roast beef, roast pork, roast chicken, I need the whole lineup. Like, what vegetables are we talking about? What flavour gravy? What time of day is it? Like, are we talking Christmas? Are we talking a standard Sunday? Like, we need way more information before I start who's the best one.
I don't think you've quite got the concept of a quick fire Q&A quite down. Where's Sam when I need her? It's fine.
Luckily, looking terrible, apparently.
Yeah. Luckily, with that stalling, though, we have had some FPL-related questions in. We'll try and get through some of these. The funnest flyer, how many risks are too many? I've got Cash, Watkins, Bowen and Simicass. Would love to roll, wouldn't we all? How many of those four, because I think quite a few people are going to be in a similar risk position, how many of those do you think are a kind of a risk this week?
Well, I mean, at least Watkins and Bowen, right? The update from Bowen is about as unhelpful as it gets. It sounds like he's probably not going to play this one. Joe said it best about an hour ago on the team news video, where he obviously was like, "I'm no athlete," which came as a shock to everybody.
Yeah,
that was just the end. See you next week, guys. So he bashed his knee a number of years ago and ended up with fluid on the knee. And it was like, you know, an annoying kind of knock-on effect of some kind of impact pain. And yeah, he was basically saying he like just couldn't walk properly for like a week to 10 days from just bashing it on a door. And Joe's day job doesn't involve playing Premier League football for a Premier League team. So the longer it kind of winds on and the more Moyes isn't really that happy with it, it just makes you think,
This is the most ridiculous comparison I have ever heard in my life.
It was good though. I like it.
Joe Dinnery over there. Talking about the fluid on the knee.
Well, if he's had it and it really hurts and he can't really get about, Jared Bowen can play Premier League football with the same thing. So it just makes me think he's not around this week. The Watkins one, he like might be, but it probably isn't going to be. I mean, again, neither of the quotes are really that helpful. So they are both risks. Cash and Simicass, I think, are going to be fine, especially compared to them. So when we say how many are too many, I mean, it depends what your bench is. If you've got Archer, or you've got like Palmer, who have obviously been bench options for people, I think you can probably get away with maybe rolling here. Maybe. Because Bowen and Watkins still have value in like 3 weeks' time. Mm. And they still have value in like 2 weeks' time. I mean, Watkins especially, like if he's fit for game week 18, I'll obviously be a broken record about it again. But he still has some long-term value. I guess it depends how much you want to roll, what your bench is looking like. I am going to have to hold Bowen because I need to sell Eze. And then in terms of my team, I will probably be starting Archer away at Burnley. So
you are lucky you don't have the Watkins as well in that. Because I think Bowen's out. I don't think Bowen plays. I think there's something, not in the squad in the Europa League. Another vague update. I would be surprised to see him start. I think Watkins probably starts. I still just think it's kind of a bit of a Europa League injury. Again, that's not really based on anything, but I think he probably starts. But there is enough of a doubt there to consider other options, which we're going to get to in a minute. So, I mean, for someone like me at my rank, I've got to ask myself the question, even though I think he's going to start, can I really risk bringing on an Archer when people are going to be moving to Darwin or Isak or, Solanke, all with good pedigree and good chance of points? So, I don't know. I think Watkins is a tricky one. Cash is probably fine. Simicass starts. Klopp's been talking him up, I think. So Bowen's a sell for me, but Watkins is a 50-50. The other two are holds.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, is that the Watkins one is clearly still in a different category / bracket to the Bowen one, because there's still a chance for him. I'll just read the quote in full, because not everybody's had a chance to see this yet, because it kind of... Villa always drops super late. The press conference, so sometimes it doesn't always make the team news video, for example. It just about snuck in, and there's people in the chat asking if he is out. The quote is, "He's not completely unavailable for Sunday. We are going to wait for..." I know, it's like, it's almost like he knows the buzzwords. I know, thanks, Sunai. We're going to wait for tomorrow and see if we can take a risk with him or not. We will see how he feels about facing the demands in 90 minutes we're going to face on Sunday. And the other actual mitigating factor to remember here that Neil mentioned was that right there is not a verbatim quote necessarily. It's from the press team of Aston Villa transcribing him. And that sounds fine in of itself, but Neil obviously has pointed out a number of times down the years where the people who work for a club sometimes will kind of paraphrase, maybe if they're busy or whatever, and they in and of themselves don't know necessarily they have all these fantasy managers hanging on absolutely every word. And so that exact quote hasn't been specifically run through the great man Neil yet. It probably will be later. Just to clarify.
Well, there's Mark Southerns in the chat with his weird little avatar of a purple man in a yellow background. Obviously not getting that experience of listening on pod, but it's worth, you know, checking out the Q&A stream to see Mark's weird little thing. I don't know why he's got that. Is that even the real Mark Sullins? Probably not. He says Unai lives in the real world, not the fantasy world. Yeah, and a lot of managers do, don't they? They deliberately, I think. Did you see that? There was a post about someone on Twitter who said they play Football Manager and they deliberately sub their players at 59 minutes just to annoy the fantasy players.
So I actually put that to the general, who obviously famously does the 59th minute podcast, and he refused to confirm nor deny whether or not that anonymous Football manager was him. So you never know.
Well, probably is.
It's like kind of extra branding.
I don't know. It's like kind of letting out some of your frustration, like playing GTA and then running everyone over. You just go on Football Manager and sub everyone in the 59th minute.
I mean, that's quite a confession. I don't think I've ever gone out and ran people over just to. Oh, you mean on GTA? Oh, right. Yeah. So I thought you meant in real life. You ever just gone out and ran people over because you get your GTA frustration out in the real world?
You heard correctly.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, moving on.
Moving swiftly on. As the sound seems a bit lower, I've adjusted it a little bit. Hopefully, it's a bit better. I basically just turned you down a little bit. Let's hope it has. Okay, let's go on to some of the main kind of. I think the main question really is what to do with Watkins, right? I think that is that's the question a lot of people are kind of asking this week. I saw a question from Avilo, Gilkov, Watkins to Isak or Darwin. Firstly, would you do it for free? Secondly, is it even potentially worth a hit? Thirdly, which one?
Well, I mean, you'd probably have to pay me to sell Watkins because I don't have him. If I was going to... I mean, okay, so in terms of Watkins replacements, because like people are coming here and they want something quite simple, right? If you're already feeling like you don't want Watkins, then Isak is probably, in my opinion, I think has the better long-term value because... Your game week 18 plan has to be part of this decision, whether you're going to try and kind of ignore it or you're going to try and really lean into it. Whichever of those two things you've already sorted out, try and lean into that. If you're thinking you want to maximize game week 18, then Isak makes sense because United at home this week, I mean, that's a great fixture, I still think, for a team like Newcastle. Maybe not for everybody else. But then Everton, Spurs, without the defensive strength they've had. Then you get Fulham in 17, and then, of course, they're away at Luton in 18. That's a really nice fixture. Liverpool, on the other hand, to Darwin will give you better short-term value as a Watkins replacement because Fulham, Sheffield United are the next two. But then after that, it's Crystal Palace. Man United game I still think is good for them. But then in blank game week 18, they are at home to Arsenal, I should say, who obviously defensively doing really well and everyone's kind of investing in their defenders for good reason. So if I had to replace Watkins... I personally would choose Isak, but I'm someone who's looking to try and maximise my team for 18. If you're less fussed about that and feel like you can maybe get the points in the bag now or in the next couple of weeks and then take a hit, not as in transfers, but as in sort of take a red arrow in 18, having already banked loads of points by going and leaning into the short-term fixtures, then Darwin's your option. So without wanting to sound like a politician again, it almost depends on
almost as bad as your bloody
what
roast
play style
answer,
you want.
To be honest,
I know, but hopefully that makes sense. Like they both are—they're not bad options. They just offer different things. Isak is longer-term value and helps you in 18. Darwin doesn't help you in 18, but really helps you in.
So 18. I mean, two things with that. I mean, firstly, do you definitely get all those games with Isak, given that he's back from injury and they've got that Milan game in between Spurs and Fulham? I would have thought he's benched at least in one of those games and minutes managed in the other.
But then is Darwin necessarily completely locked for Liverpool as well? I mean, he's fairly sure of starts at the moment. But you know, we've got a load of games coming up as well for Liverpool too. You know, they're Thursday, Sunday as well. So, I mean, to be fair, they don't... I mean, I haven't been completely following Liverpool's Europa League season.
He was benched last night, so he got a rest.
So he may still get rest in those games, but we do have three Premier League games in the space of a week coming up. So... I think is more of a rotation risk, but I wouldn't necessarily think Darwin's impervious to it.
I mean, we're seeing already quite a lot of... I mean, it's at a time when I think the template is so strong, and Watkins is obviously a key part of that template. I know you haven't got it, but the majority have. So it's nice to see some people saying they're keeping and holding. You know, Delia's in the chat, says he's an easy hold. Other people are saying, you know, Darwin, you know, he's nailed on, he's got this place now to lose. Other people are saying Isak. It does feel like there's a bit of a kind of... a way to go for it. Mark's saying about your strategy, maybe thinking ahead to game week 18. Obviously, we need to be keeping that game week in mind, but obviously we have got transfers that we can use around that. And Mark is saying, you know, in game week 18, you do Mbeumo to Gordon and then bring Watkins back in potentially for Darwin in 18. Yeah. If you can hold a transfer, so maybe if you've got two. But yeah, I know it's difficult. Delia says don't jinx Isak, as I'm counting. David's the one jinxing Isak. I'm not totally hot on Isak. But Big Lou is. Isak is more nailed, plus has pens, Man United, Everton and Spurs, all leaky defences. Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? They're all good options. Darwin, Watkins and Isak. I like all three. It feels like one of them's going to be the clear front runner. Just trying to pick who it is. I think I'd go Darwin. I think I'm considering the hit for Watkins to Darwin this week.
I mean, that's... Someone had asked that in the chat and they was like, is it worth it for a hit? I mean, yeah, I wouldn't take a hit in that scenario. But it sounds like, yeah, you would be willing to risk it for a biscuit.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I've got to do something, right? I don't like having a potentially injured player on the bench. And I feel like I've got to kind of start taking a few... If I was like 100k in the world, maybe I wouldn't be doing it, because I just say, well, Watkins is going to be held by quite a lot of people, and you know, I haven't really got a kind of worry. Whereas I'm trying to push on, and actually if Watkins is out of Sunday and everyone is bringing Archer off the bench and I've got Darwin, that is a, you know, there's the potential there to make up 10-12 points, you know, if he does well, and then I've got him in place for two good fixtures after that. So my thinking is a little bit different maybe where I am to maybe other people. I think holding him is... I think he plays. This is the thing. I think he probably starts. Does he have his minutes managed? Potentially. If there is a little niggle, does that mean when the next game week comes around, which is on Tuesday, tight turnaround, is he a doubt for that one as well, if he plays 90 for this? There's a few kind of question marks around him.
Yeah, I mean, arguably there's question marks over minutes around all three of those strikers we've just talked about.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be honest. Yeah. And so then I still actually think that we could step back in like 5 weeks' time and Watkins, Darwin and Isak probably all scored the same number of points, which is why I kind of feel like, if that ends up what happens, I mean, obviously I'm no prognosticator, but like, if that's what happens, then I wouldn't want to waste loads of transfers around that position. And so then I would probably hold. The only person I've seen talk about someone really different in the chat about this, I can't remember who it was, but someone mentioned Solanke, who probably doesn't have the minutes risk, and it's a massive sort of left field pick, but it hasn't been a bad option this year, and he's easy to get to for basically everybody because he's cheaper than these three guys. Could be quite good, and so, like, you know, they just don't have involvement in other competitions, so them having three games in 7 days is not going to be, and of course he doesn't have this injury hanging over him either, so yeah, he could be worth thinking about too.
Yes, so like he's got Villa, isn't he, at home. Bournemouth have been much improved attacking wise over the last few weeks. I've been kind of talking on Black Box. Mark keeps trying to talk me into Solanke. I'm still not completely convinced of him. I'd rather go Isak or Darwin if I had the funds. I think Solanke would still be quite a way down the list, but it does eliminate that minutes risk that you're kind of mentioning. You're maybe getting more consistent. You might get some, you know, a six or seven every other week, whereas I think Darwin and Isak could hit a 14, 15 with the fixtures they've got. I don't think that's going to come for Solanke. So just depends what kind of play style you want to play with, really. I still think Darwin. I think Darwin for a hit as well. I don't mind that. Otherwise, I would probably just keep Watkins. The other one is Adingra to Palmer for a hit. That's another move I'm weighing up this week. I was probably going to do it until this Watkins news. I don't think I really want to take a -8. But Palmer is going to be... he's already in a lot of people's teams. He's going to be even more popular, I think, after Tuesday's game. That's when Chelsea's fixtures turn really, really nice. What do you think about a hit for Palmer this week, given it's Brighton, no Dunk, they've had Europe, full rest for Chelsea, and Nkunku potentially back?
That sounds like the recipe for a Brighton win, though.
I hope so. Don't get me wrong.
With the expected narrative of both of those clubs this season, Brighton seem to do quite well when people don't expect anything from them, and Chelsea are like almost the opposite. I mean, for a hit, I think that's the thing. I mean, he's a definite sign, I think, for most people next week, because that's when the fixtures really turn. I don't know. I don't know if I'd do it. I still kind of feel like Chelsea, my attacking players might still get something against them. Just because, they have had some games where it just goes all completely wrong for them. And the Newcastle game shows that they still have that in them. They can be without Reece James, so then they're short him in defence. I mean, they've not had him for a while anyway. But I was actually having a look at some numbers around them the other day, because they have actually been among like the best defences so far this season. But that's not actually the case anymore. Like, over four game week periods, I always kind of like track who's, you know, doing the best and who's doing the worst. And they're actually, I think they're in the bottom six again. They've conceded like 15 chances in the last four matches. Oh, sorry, 15 big chances in the last four matches, which is like quite a lot. And I know they faced Newcastle, and you know there was red cards involved in that. But I don't know. Like, I don't like taking hits to get rid of someone who I sort of like fancy. Because I mean, again, like transfers are just so precious. Like, get Palmer next week, and you don't have to get a hit, because all Odinga's got to do is get like 4 points, so he's getting assists, he's right.
Yeah, I mean, so I think the kind of issues are we played in Europe and we looked leggy. That concerned me. We got a 1-0 win, but it wasn't a great performance against, yeah. I mean, Athens are a decent side, but they're a team that I think Brighton should be beating, you know, relatively comfortably, in my opinion, given the way we play football and some of the results we've had over the last, I don't know, 12 months or 14 months. But they gave us a really good game, and we were lucky to come away from that with a win. Obviously, key injury to Fati, players having to play more minutes. I mean, Odinga just doesn't get rested. He's played every game now for the last couple of months. And we haven't got Dunk, which is just a huge thing. I can't see any way in which Chelsea don't score against us. Right. It's just, do we score more? And the trouble is, even if we do score, it's not always Odinga that's getting the goals, because he sometimes is a bit kind of farmed out over wide, as Mark said, looks a bit flashy at times, but isn't always kind of in the most attacking areas. So,
yeah,
again, I'm maybe a bit more on it. I think Palmer could outscore Odinga by four this week.
I mean, he could do, but I guess it just depends how much, because you're actually staking points on this now, rather than necessarily making the transfer for free. So I think that's what changes it. And I think sometimes, and this is more of a general thing for FPL decisions, like, it's quite easy in most scenarios to say player A is better than player B for this specific set of circumstances, because I don't disagree with you. I'd rather own Palmer than Odinga this week anyway. It's just the question always is, as Gamora once asked Thanos, what did it cost? You know, even if it comes off, what did it cost? And it's like, if it costs you transfers and it costs you points, it does take the shine off it. And I always just don't.
And if Odinga scores, the answer will be similar to Thanos.
Yeah, exactly. Everything. Yeah, exactly.
Million and rank. So,
yeah, exactly. And, you know, well, and all that rank just disappeared at the snap of a finger. So it just can happen. I think we as fantasy managers sometimes are nervous about making sure every single slot in the 11 is optimized for this week. But if the cost of that means points and hits and all that kind of stuff and transfers at a time when we're really going to need them, if we don't have a wild card, to maybe go from somebody who isn't playing to someone who is playing,
yeah,
to someone who's lost their place in the team to someone who's still got it. And sometimes you just have to look at that slot and think, you know what, that slot in my team sucks this week, but that's fine. I feel like the rest of my team will sort me out. And I've not seen the rest of this person's team, but we get these questions kind of like on all the videos, and a lot of the time I just kind of think, don't worry about that as much as you think you have to.
If you're really not feeling Odinga, you could potentially play Archer against Burnley, which again isn't a bad.
Yeah, could do that.
These players could all get something. I think obviously you'd pick Palmer out of the three of them, but like you say, you are backing the points on it. I, again, my answers I think are a little bit they're different from my team compared to what I maybe would advise for everyone else. Thanks to Greg Frost for saying, as gives good advice, doesn't always apply it to his own team. Absolutely not. But I mean, if I was taking a hit for Palmer, it would be to try and hit that big haul that Palmer could potentially get when I don't think Adingra, you know, I think he's got more chance. You know, it's kind of, you're betting the points essentially to try and hit the big haul. And it might not come off. But I can't see Adingra getting a big score, whereas I can see Palmer, if Chelsea click, they could get three or four against us. And you'd expect Palmer to be
involved. Yeah,
it's
definitely possible.
Given what he's done. We've got a super chat from A. Thank you very much. If you have both Bowen and Watkins and one free transfer with Taylor on your bench, so Taylor up against Sheffield United, is it worth it to take a hit to bring Palmer and either Darwin or Isak in again? So, again, I think we've sort of... I think Bowen out... We're kind of agreed on, right? That's probably worth it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, weirdly enough, I feel that we've almost been talking about this already.
Yeah.
It's the principles we've just spoken about, you can just transpose them to this because, yes, maybe Watkins is a doubt and Darwin and Isak both look better this week. And obviously Palmer looks better than Bowen this week. But is it worth a minus four necessarily? Well, I don't know. I don't know what the rest of the team's like. So I feel like saving some transfers and saving some points to deal with other issues in the future is not the worst thing to do when Taylor up against Sheffield United is actually not bad. I mean, Burnley really, really, really need a result at home. And this could be it. Taylor's got pedigree of, you know, kind of getting value, 6 points. And I think he scored his first goal in something like 8 years recently, didn't he? He's already done the business this year. If that person was coming off my bench in any other game week, I would be a bit more nervous, but it's Sheffield United, so I wouldn't take the hit there.
I like the Taylor pick. I think you either do you either do Watkins to Darwin and play Taylor, or you do Bowen to... Oh, well, I'd get Mbeumo if I didn't have him already. Assuming you have got him, then you probably go for Palmer. Yeah, that's kind of what I say. FPL Rank Chaser, a minus four to sell Eze and Bowen for Palmer and Mbeumo. I like that. Two injured players for two good options.
So, funnily enough, this is the situation I have in my team. So, I've got Eze and Bowen, and only one transfer, and I don't have Palmer or Mbeumo. What I would probably do, and what I probably will do, is bench Bowen, start Archer, sell Eze to get Mbeumo, and then if Bowen next time out is not, has not progressed as much as I would like, which is entirely probable because it's only going to be Tuesday, then I'd do Bowen to Palmer.
Playing a safe game, David, at 126k. Yeah,
there we go. Well, I mean, I captained Eze last week, so I should probably chill out, shouldn't I?
I would do. I'd bring in Palmer for a hit rather than play Archer, I think.
Oh, really? Wow, okay.
Yeah, I would. But we play slightly differently, don't we? Like, you're maybe a little bit more conservative these days.
Well, no, I'm the other way around. I always used to be the dullard. I was like a mini Joe.
Yeah, no, look at my rank and look at yours. Yeah.
Well, but that's because I started playing. That's because I then became an upside chaser. I just, about a year ago, went into the World Cup, the lowest rank I'd ever gone into the new year in. I was on course to have my worst ever season. And I just kind of almost like let go of FPL in my mind in terms of how it made me feel and just kind of ignored the emotion of it and simply just picked things every week that I felt were exciting and kind of cool. And then nearly finished in the top 10K and had my best ever season from playing upside. I basically switched to late risers.
So what are you now then? Now you're advising Archer, play Archer, no hits.
I have no idea. I don't know what I don't. We love quoting science fiction here. In the words of the Doctor, I don't know who I am anymore.
Sorry, we love quoting science fiction. Nice. Don't lump me in with this.
hey, you cried after you read the final book of the Mistborn trilogy. So
I told you that in confidence.
No, I cried as well. I know, so I'm really sorry.
I cried in two books. I guess that was one of them. Do you know what the other one was?
Is it within the Mistborn series or just outside of that?
Completely different.
Oh, I don't know. Was it My Game Week 11 by Az Phillips?
That was a bad week. Oh dear. Name of the Wind. If you've read Name of the Wind, my favorite book, Patrick Rothfuss.
You know what? You did actually tell me that. Yeah. You did tell me that. I'm sorry. I'm also really sorry for breaking your confidence as well. Yes. I feel bad about that. But entertainment value, people like it in the chat.
They can't break what isn't there anymore.
Ooh, there we go.
These days,
rift confirmed.
Yeah, we've had a bit of beef. Constitution Pictures is saying that we have an agenda against.
Oh wow.
Jesus and Gakpo, two players I did not think we had an agenda against. But what are your thoughts on? On those.
I'm really glad the sentence ends with or Gakpo. because I really don't really want to get into any kind of religious debates on Scout videos. Jesus Christmas is a good shout. Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, Captain on Christmas Day. Yeah, Jesus is actually a really good shout. True.
Just to answer Yellow, didn't cry, had a tear in my eye at one point. It's fine. It's very different.
For those listening on podcast, the comment from her is, as cried watching Married at First Sight. Just want to get that in there. This video people can see it. I've cried inside my head at Married at First Sight because, wow, what a program. Anyway, speaking of people making questionable decisions, let's get back to FPL. Jesus is a really good shout because... What was it? The Lens game. Was that not the first time Arsenal have played with the big six? Yeah. Their first choice front six, and it was devastating. And when he's fit and he's playing every week, while he's not necessarily explosive, he's quite reliable. He's got quite a low floor, I feel, which is useful. I think he's a good shout. Gakpo, I'd be less convinced by because I think he's more of a rotation threat. Mm. So. Not an intentional refusal to mention him, I will just say. A mild overlooking. And actually, to be fair, probably worth pointing out that if you then get Jesus, we're not the only ones overlooking him, so he could be a really good differential right now.
Yeah,
so.
I think Gakpo's not even really worth considering, right? Because I think it's the front three is Diaz, Darwin and Salah. That's the first choice front three. It's got to be.
Yeah.
So you're buying a player who will see some minutes because it's a busy schedule, but... I wouldn't want to be buying a player who isn't, I don't think, in the first choice front three. Maybe you think differently. Maybe you think Gakpo's going to start against Fulham at home, which is a great option, but too much. I think Darwin's risky enough, and he's first choice, let alone going for Gakpo, who isn't. So I think he's out. Jesus, I don't know. He's not been a consistent enough FPL returner for me. Like, we all had him... Was it last year when he started the season? I think he got...
He was auto-pick at the start.
Yeah, everyone had him. He got a few goals against Leicester, quite a big haul in that. And everyone was like, oh, wow, he's a changed, revitalised player. And then he did nothing for us for months. And the injuries as well. He's had a lot of injuries over the last year. And again, you're going into a festive schedule when Trossard's been playing quite well. They've got Nketiah waiting around. I just think it's Saka or no one really in that Arsenal team. And we want to see what they're like. Injury. Yeah, we want to see what they're like from the attacker perspective because they haven't been scoring huge amounts of goals so far. So maybe having all their players, fit and available is going to suddenly mean they go back to the swashbuckling team of last year. But I want to see a bit more. I think there's better options. I think Isak and Darwin are just better options than Jesus and Gakpo. And that's why we've been talking about them.
Yeah, I think that's fair as well.
Yep. Why are people talking about me so much today? Nuclear Adams, except for the 21-22 season, what was Az's last brilliant season?
Oh, we're coming for you now.
God, I'm going back to when I finished 800th. Don't know how many people can make that claim, though.
Wait, you finished 800th? I never knew that. I'm kidding. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I'm not falling into that trap. That was a while ago, though. That was back in, 15, 16, something like that. It's all been pretty average since then. Superman Az seems like a very nice guy, just saying, yeah. I'm a lovely guy.
How they specifically mentioned you there. Just like, didn't mention me, sort of almost on purpose. Yeah. I'll take it, it's fine.
Well, I'm getting kind of complimented and slated in the chat. So it's, I'm just picking
this
up.
This chat is all about you today, man.
It is. I know. I don't really know why. Let's take a look at some other questions. Let's try and not focus on Watkins, although I do appreciate he is the kind of the obvious one. Greg Frost, triple Arsenal defence coming up for me, even against Villa and Liverpool. I mean, got one... A lot of people going for two, getting the Raya, Saliba or Gabriel, double up. Triple defence, that means no route to Saka.
Wow. I mean, it's bold. Let's see if it pays off. No, that's not a sci-fi, that one. it's not, I mean, defenders suck right now. So Galvanizer's also put in the chat, are there any must-have defenders this week? And I guess Arsenal against Wolves, I guess, but I don't know. The thing is, I haven't looked at any numbers on this, but I've not owned Arsenal defenders for ages. I started the season with Gabriel, and it was almost like it wasn't me. I had one slot left in my team, and I was really happy with who I had in my team. Defenders, I think, were well picked. I have had Anderson and Cash since day one, so clearly some of them were picked well. I had one slot left. I didn't know what to do with it, and I just kind of looked around. Everyone had Gabriel, so I went Gabriel. and then missed the news that he wasn't going to start game week one because, funnily enough, I was hosting a stream. And so then I missed it. So then I had that to deal with several weeks.
The irony
I'm annoyed
of that.
With myself. I know. It's crazy. And it's I'm annoyed with myself because that was the first time an Arsenal defender went in my team all summer.
Did the chat not tell you that Gabriel was missing? It seems harsh.
They kind of did, but I just noticed too slowly. It was Friday, wasn't it? It was like 6:28 PM, yeah, so I didn't have time to sort of go in, and I think the site then crashed as well. But basically, I spent all of the summer kind of looking at everyone else with an Arsenal defender, being like, really, like they're not as reliable as I want them to be, because I think for ages it was like, what was it? They had something like 4 clean sheets in 23 at home, and so I was like, I'm not paying 5 million or more for a defender in that team. Now, I will just say that they have improved. The way they ended last season defensively was rubbish, and that's why I didn't start with one. But it's almost like once burned, twice shy. I kind of just am a bit scared about it. I kind of feel like Arsenal at home against Wolves smacks of like someone...
I'm sorry, have you got an Arsenal defender?
No, I don't have one. I haven't had one since I sold Gabriel like ages ago, because I can never bring myself to do it. It's almost like I think I just have trust issues there. So it might work. It might work, but I think triple is too much. I could have just said that at the beginning instead of telling a really long, boring anecdote. But I do just have trust issues with Arsenal defence, even when their numbers are good.
You know,
need to see a bit more.
You know, before the stream, I was saying about the sound issues and I couldn't find the button.
Oh. Yep.
Just found the button. Does that sound any better?
Oh. Doesn't sound any different to me.
Okay.
Should we testing, 1, 2, 3.
Testing. Well, let me know if it sounds any better. Not as much difference, because we're coming probably to the end of this fairly soon. We do have a question from Delia, though. Bowen out for Luis Diaz for a hit. Another player we haven't talked about, the Luis Diaz agenda that we will probably have, according to some of the members of the chat. Would you do that for a hit? She also put a cocktail emoji, which implies that she's up for a bit of, you know, a bit of fun with her transfer. Is Bowen to Diaz a bit of a lively one?
Well, first things first, don't drink and transfers. We have to say that. I mean, you can. It's not illegal, like drinking and other things is, but... It's not advisable, not optimal, whichever word you want to go with. Luis Diaz is not a bad shout, though. Because, yeah, you know, if you like Darwin for his fixtures, then you clearly like Liverpool's fixtures. And Salah is not a differential anymore. He kind of was for a while, and then he's kind of auto-included for a lot of people now, captaincy candidate. So are we back at the stage when simply just having Salah and even sometimes captaining him is good enough for nothing more than a grey circle at your rank bracket? And do you obviously remember the days of old when you needed to have Salah and Firmino in order to get the green arrows out of Liverpool scoring goals. I don't think we're quite at that level yet, because I still think every Liverpool attacker has still got some way to go compared to Salah. But if you really want to lean into that Liverpool fixture run, then Diaz is a great shout. I guess the question is for a hit. Do I think Diaz could replay that over the next couple of weeks? I think he could, because he's quite explosive and he's quite differential and the fixtures are really good. That's a better -4 than some of the ones we've seen talked about here. That's one I would maybe consider.
Dilly's bench is Cash, Adoghi and McTominay, to be clear. I mean,
it's not bad, actually.
Yeah, I mean, who's Adoghi got?
As far as benches go.
The Spurs have got City, haven't they? So you're not going to want to play him. McTominay is McTominay. Cash, there's some worries that he might not start that game because he had that bit of an injury. I think I'd do it.
Yeah, maybe.
I think I'd do it for a hit. Gets rid of a problem. Gets someone in a bit fun. Get the cocktails out on the juice stream tomorrow. Yeah. Go on. I think David's with me. I think we're going to enable you.
For the vibes.
With that transfer. Apparently, pressing that button caused the sound to lag. Apparently, it's
the lagging
button, which I don't know why that exists on the microphone. But anyway, it's fine. Why does this stream always get issues? It's cursed. I know it is, isn't it? It literally is a cursed stream. My sound's lower. There's no reason for the sound to be lower. It's just literally just like an. It's like an echo, like reduce the echo button. That's it. That's all it should do. It should make things better, if anything.
I think you've got an aura of disrupt, you know, is like just whatever technology you go near.
Have you been playing Baldur's Gate? That sounds like a Baldur's Gate type.
Aura
of
Well, what I've recently been playing is Disney's Lorcana, which is like magic cards, but for kids. It's amazing.
You have to take it up one. I thought, here I am thinking Baldur's Gate's bad enough. Bloody Disney cards. Love it.
Yeah, man. Disney cards are the best. If you've got kids and you like card games, go and buy Disney's Lorcana if you can. Because it's sold out like everywhere.
A player we haven't talked about is Gordon. What do you think of this move from Fëanor 1977? Would you sell Son and Watkins? I mean, who'd be thinking of you saying that like 3 or 4 weeks ago? Gordon and Haaland. And I am seeing this being mentioned by quite a few people who have obviously not gone with Haaland and now freaking out because it's Spurs next. He's, in my opinion, the best captain option this week. How much would you decimate your team to bring in Haaland? And what do you think of Gordon?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I know, cutting edge questions here on Fantasy Football Scout. The big question this afternoon, guys, is should we buy Haaland? Oh, that's a tricky one.
Is he a 1.5 season wonder? Or do you think he's going to be all right for the next few weeks?
Oh, did you see that thing going around on Twitter that was like, if you see this tweet, tweet a picture of a robot? It just went everywhere. And so like people with the Terminator and just all of the fictional robots. I was like, I'm just going to use Haaland. He's such a robot. So, yeah, should we sign Haaland? Yes, yes. You are absolutely right. This week, he is a great shout for the captaincy because, yeah, Spurs in disarray at the back. He seems to be back to his best, Haaland, that is at home as well. It's almost like if you don't have Haaland, the fact there is an injury to Watkins almost makes it worse because there will be some people that can get to him. Son out as well, I think, is worth a shout too, because I think we can now see that Spurs really do suffer without Madison. Gordon looks amazing at the moment. I feel very naked without him in my team. He's on my list of people to get. I think just because of my specific needs of my team, I'm probably not going to get him until like 16 or 17, which might even be too late. So, if you could do that move this week, it's a hard, easy, whatever way you want to say it, like a hard yes, easy yes. Instant yes, auto yes, whatever way you want to say it. It's just a yes, yes, yes.
Wow, that was way more... seeing as you did your fence sitting earlier, I was expecting a bit more of a balanced answer. Yeah, I mean, selling Son is a concern, isn't it? Because I still think there's potential there for Halls, but then there is also the other side, which is without Madison, they aren't scoring as many goals. And he could have had a couple against Villa, but didn't. Offside, is that maybe because the pass is coming a bit late when Madison would have released him earlier? All that kind of thing. I just think you need Haaland this week, and if you can get to him with a -4 and sell a potential injury in Watkins and Son, who's playing City in arguably the hardest fixture of the year, then this is the week to do it. So I'm with you. I would probably do that move. I like Son, but I'd rather have Haaland. So get him back.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, captaincy, right? You wouldn't captain Son in this one or any of the next few. No, I mean, he definitely would Haaland.
I mean, obviously Salah's a great option this week as well, but for me, Haaland could... If Haaland got 4 goals against this Spurs side, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I think this, again, talking about upsides, talking about things, I think Salah will do well against Fulham, but they might be quite stubborn. They're going to play a low block. They're going to, you know, try and make things difficult. We saw against Luton, Liverpool struggled a bit in that team to create goals. I still think Liverpool win that game comfortably, but I think Spurs... are going to concede a lot to City, so I'd want to be going into that with Haaland.
Yeah.
AM, hey guys, -4, take out Son for Mbeumo or Gordon.
Another -4.
Another -4, I think, Son for Mbeumo or Gordon. So Son out for a -4.
It's annoying because we've just said on the previous question we'd do it, but the -4 does change it. I think looking at upside, I think Mbeumo's got better chance next 3 matches because this one, the Luton game, and then is it Burnley in 2 weeks' time? Those 2 games are great. Gordon also looks really good as well. I think I would probably do that. I think for you to take a -4, you've... I don't know. Yeah, I'm now conflicted with myself because I've sort of talked down some -4s earlier on, but that one feels explosive enough to maybe pay off.
I'm shocked. Your sudden turn of you know, points, hits, and betting and all that has kind of gone down a 180. I wouldn't do it. I'd leave Son.
Really?
I think Son is still a good pick going forward, and I think there's other I'd imagine there's other ways you could move to Mbeumo or Gordon in your side without maybe having to sacrifice him. Unless, well, unless you're three up top and things. I just think Son still is a great player. It'd be a very reluctant sell of him to Haaland, let alone to Mbeumo or Gordon. I think Son's still better than those picks.
What? So let me put a question back to you then, because actually really what it comes down to this is how naked would you feel without Mbeumo? Because, I mean, he could maybe get to Mbeumo via someone else, but let's say this is his only route. And, you know, so it's a case of, because we have, you know what, the Watkins thing has just completely changed the whole narrative. And people are probably fed up of talking about, do we or do we still have Mbeumo on our team, blah, blah, blah. But like, that's my question back to you that's part of this context is like, do you think it's worth going without Mbeumo this week? Do you think you can get away with it?
Well, I mean, if you're taking a minus four to get Mbeumo, he's going to need to get you two returns, right? For that hit to be worth it. Could he get those against Luton? Yes, he could. But that also means Son getting nothing against City, which, okay, could happen. But that's suddenly you're adding in quite a lot of factors into it. If I had a team of, you know, if I had Haaland captain, if I had Nunes maybe, if I had, because there's some decent fixtures, Palmer at home to Chelsea, I think I'd feel confident that those players could return and I'd be happy to hold on to Son. Maybe if I had Watkins and Eze and Bowen and lots of other issues, then the hit becomes more tempting, but then I wouldn't be losing Son for one of those. I'd be losing one of those other players. So I can't really see a team where I would justify Son to one of those picks, because I think you're going to have other players that could do well. Mbeumo is a great pick, but I don't think we need to be moving heaven and earth for him. He could do well again. I mean, what's his best case scenario against Luton? 12?
Two goals and assist, I reckon.
Two goals and assist, that would be 15. Yeah. 15 points, something like that. You're taking a hit, that's 11. Son gets a goal against City, a couple of bonus, that's 7, 8. That's only 3 points. I don't know.
I mean, it must be said, Son is the kind of player who can get goals against a high line.
Yeah,
so it can happen.
Matt, I think it's just as simple as that. Son out for a hit doesn't sound great. That's how I feel about it. I like the way Spurs are playing still.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, we've talked loads about why are people talk about bounties in the chat. Delia says she loves bounty. Why do so many people hate bounties? I love them. Bounty's rubbish.
It's like someone kind of got tissue paper and kind of soaked it in kind of like, I guess, milk, right? And then put it inside a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, do you ever, I'm trying to think of an example, like when you were a kid and like you had like an ice lolly and maybe your parents gave it to you in some kind of tissue, almost like a bib for your hand, so that like you've got tissue paper around your hand so you don't get this. He still has one now. So you don't get all the sticky stuff, all, you know, from the lolly all over your hand. And you kind of lean in and you end up eating some of the tissue paper because you didn't notice it was stuck to the lolly.
I have never, ever, ever seen anyone or any child use that. I mean, I had lolly all down my hand constantly when I was eating them. That sounds like a great parenting hack, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible. But basically, in the rare moments when you accidentally ate the tissue paper, it was then like, oh man, oh, it's like that time I accidentally ate a bounty for Christmas. It's the same taste. It's the same.
I don't believe that anyone's eaten a proper full size bounty and enjoyed it. And there's going to be people in the chat who say they have not buying it. The celebrations ones are bad enough when you get them left in the pack at the end. You know, and like, you know, you could have had a Maltesers truffle instead of that. They're miles clear.
What's really weird is that whenever this is, I'm face palming so hard because Twitter is about to become like a tier maker for chocolates, and I'm just so fed. It's gonna be a World Cup.
Yeah, the polls go. Dan Dave. Right. He's listening. Yeah.
I'm joking. I do love the World Cup, so I just like to pretend to be exasperated by them. But what happens with the bounty is it's like, basically, you get it's two types of people. Either you get me and you that will just put them in the just rubbish tier, and then you just get these people who just inexplicably put it in S tier, and it's like nothing beats the bounty, and there's no in between. It's the new Marmite, because I think everybody now has realised that they don't actually have strong opinions about Marmite. I don't. If it ended up on my sandwich and I was hungry, I'd eat it. You know, I don't care. But bounty, oh man, middle ground.
Didn't they do a poll once, and they were like, if we get enough votes, we'll get rid of bounties in the celebration box, and there was like an outcry about it and like a petition, and they kept them in. And it's like, we could have, you know, this is why people shouldn't be allowed to vote.
I know. I blame Delia. Yeah. Clearly it was her.
Mostly Delia. To be honest, there's a few people. You know, Jimbo's there. I love bounties. My tactic with celebrations is to leave it till last as no one eats them, so I get to enjoy all the others.
Wow.
That's an awful strategy.
I mean, that could be one of Delia's just like, you know, copy accounts to
burner bounty.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've massively digressed from fantasy football. Hopefully anything we've said up and that's been useful today. Quality advice, lads, says Paul F. Absolutely, that's what we're here for.
Come for the FPL, stay for the bounties.
That's it. Thank you, everyone. We've had some great super chats today, some great questions. Good luck deciding. I think I probably am going to sell Watkins for Darwin. I think that's probably where I'm leaning to. That means keeping Adingra. I've got to get rid of him as well. Take a -8.
Signed a bounty. Why not?
I'm not eating a bounty. No matter what you have to say, you're never going to get that desperate. David, thanks for joining me. It will probably be Sam and I next week, but you keep seeming to step in because Sam is otherwise engaged. So maybe see you again next week. And if not, we'll do another again soon.
Yeah, let's speak soon, and I promise I will not reveal any more secrets you've told me in confidence.
Yeah, actually, there's been quite a few today, which...
I'm so sorry.
That's fine. People get to know me a bit better on these streams.
It's all about bringing out the personality.
I'd rather talk about secrets than tech issues, so that's fine.
Very true. But I've got a long list of secrets, so we're all good.
Yeah, we're definitely not having you on again. Thanks, everyone. We will see you again very soon.
Cheers, guys. Bye.